college students around the country are pushing for their schools to divest from fossil fuels. That means selling off investments in coal, oil, and gas companies from endowments, the savings accounts of colleges that earn interest and help fund everything from financial aid to keeping the lights on. Students' efforts succeeded at Stanford, which got rid of its portfolio of coal in 2013. This whole movement, though, began at Swarthmore College about 4 years ago, and students at this school are still struggling to make their voices heard. Carolyn Beeler reports.
So together they go like this, just listen.
We will build power.
Dozens of students are crowded into a hallway outside of the finance offices at Swarthmore College, learning a new protest song.
So let's split like right here.
It's the middle of March and the first day of an extended sit-in at the elite liberal arts college with a nearly $2 billion endowment. Sophomore Stephen O'Hanlon and senior Sarah Blasevich helped organize the sit-in.
We're asking them to fully divest our endowment, so sell off all of our holdings in the top 200 fossil fuel companies, so coal, oil, and gas companies.
Divestment is a way for our school as an institution with a lot of social standing and a lot of clout to stigmatize the fossil fuel industry.
Climate change activist Bill McKibben, who visited Swarthmore on day 8 of the sit-in, explained divestment isn't meant to stop the flow of cash to these well-capitalized energy companies.
No one's under the illusion that if Swarthmore or any other college sells its shares in Exxon, that will immediately bankrupt Exxon. What it will do is begin the process, further the process of politically bankrupting them.
By that, he means creating a world where campaign contributions from fossil fuel companies will carry the same stigma as cash from big tobacco.
Making it much harder for them to dominate our political life the way they have.
Swarthmore's divestment movement launched in 2011 when Sarah Blasevich says it was the only one of its kind.
When our campaign started, it was sort of scrappy. It didn't have a ton of support. We didn't have a network the way that the divestment movement has a network now.
In 2012, Bill McKibben wrote a widely read Rolling Stone article on divestment that launched the movement into the national spotlight.
We went from being a handful of campaigns across the country to literally hundreds.
Last week, Syracuse University became the school with the largest endowment to announce it would divest. That follows roughly two dozen mostly small U.S. schools to have done so. But most other schools have said no to divestment, including Swarthmore in 2013.
Primarily because we thought divestment would be too costly.
That's Swarthmore Board of Managers Chair Gil Kemp, who says the school's nearly $2 billion endowment could lose $11 to $15 million a year in returns.
Those many millions of dollars would, among other things, impact severely our ability to provide needs-blind admission, which is a core value of Swarthmore and absolutely critical to our mission.
The board argued investing in campus energy efficiency would be a better way to fight climate change.
We don't believe that divestment would be an effective way of reducing, ultimately, the amount of carbon that the world is dangerously releasing.
Endowments at the 500 richest U.S. colleges and universities are worth nearly $500 billion. It's not known how much of this money, or even just Swarthmore's endowment, is invested in fossil fuel companies. But for some perspective, a random selection of three schools that recently have disclosed this information, NYU, Bowdoin, and Middlebury, have between 1.4 and 5% of their endowments invested in fossil fuels. Divestment of these funds is a controversial tactic, even among those working toward policy solutions to fight climate change. That's including Andrew Holland at the D.C.-based think tank American Security Project.
There are effective ways to fight climate change, and there are ineffective ways to fight climate change. And I think that the divestment movement fundamentally is looking in the wrong direction.
The moral argument of the demonstrators doesn't hold water with Holland.
Listen, I mean, stigma doesn't work for the fossil fuel companies. Stigma hasn't stopped these companies from becoming some of the largest in the world. And frankly, it's the fact that they produce a product that all of us need for the current economy.
Swarthmore senior Sarah Blasevich has heard all of these criticisms. She's been a climate organizer since her first month of freshman year. Sometimes trying to tackle a problem as gigantic as climate change can be daunting.
Last spring, I was sort of coming out of a particularly rough patch in our campaign and feeling really demoralized and not actually sure whether it was worth it, putting in all the hours into keeping it going.
Her low point came during finals week. Blazevich was taking a study break when she noticed a video one of her cousins had posted on Facebook.
It was being shot from a helicopter with a cell phone. And at first, all I could see was this brown sea.
As the helicopter dropped lower, she noticed there were rooftops that seemed to be floating in this brown sea.
And there were people standing on them, and that this was a village that was entirely underwater.
The villagers reminded Blazevich of family members who lived in the Balkans in a tiny village on the banks of a river, people especially at risk to increasingly extreme weather events that are expected with climate change.
I think for me that was a really pivotal moment where I was forced to make a choice about whether or not I would close my computer screen and walk away and forget that this was happening and kind of let the campaign peter off, or whether I would allow that to galvanize me.
Galvanize her it did. Blazevich helped organize Swarthmore's sit-in to demand the school's board of managers come back to the negotiating table on the topic of divestment.
Yeah, we have people rotating in and out during the day and at night.
Into the sit-in's second week, the hallway where the students were camping out was cluttered with sleeping bags, pillows, an old pizza box, and a giant plastic bin full of food.
We are not in need of snacks at all.
That's freshman Annie Zhao, who sat on a sleeping pad doing homework late that night.
We've had such an outpouring of support. At one point, we had 15 to 20 pizzas backlogged in various refrigerators in the building.
I checked in with Stephen O'Hanlon, who was among the more than 100 people who had taken shifts sitting and sleeping in the hallway by that time.
Okay, so day 12, right?
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going well. I think I've lost count at this point. I think I've slept here 8 nights. It's not too bad sleeping here. It's just that we don't have control over the lights, so there's like every third light in the hallway is on.
And how are you feeling then during the day? Are you feeling tired both from the activity of organizing all this and not getting that much sleep, or do you feel like it's invigorating you?
I think it's both. There's fatigue. I feel tired sometimes, but also I feel really, really excited about what we're doing, and I feel like it's something that's really important.
Plenty of social movements begun by earnest students have ended without the targeted industries batting an eye. But today's anti-fossil fuel activists claim kinship to the anti-apartheid divestment movement of the 1980s, which also started on college campuses amid choruses of criticism. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.